We'd like to thank everybody for being able to tune in to hear about our study during Black History Month. This is part 3 in our series for Black History Month, studying about people of color in the Bible, the true historical representation of people in the Bible. That's what we are looking at and studying at this time frame. We've been studying out of 3 books called The People of Color in the Bible Old Testament Collection. We looked at volume 1, which is called In the Beginning, which dealt with health. We looked at volume 2, which dealt with Adam and Eve. And now we're dealing with volume 3, which is titled The Garden of Eden. We pray that Yahweh will be able to bless us, be in our midst, open up our hearts and minds and understanding of everyone who's listening. And as with the speaker, we just ask for your Holy Spirit, for your early and latter rain. In your Son Yeshua, we pray, the Messiah. Amen. Okay, we're looking here at the book, as we mentioned, the Garden of Eden. And we're reading in reference to Genesis chapter 2, verse 11. You can open your Bibles to there. The name of the first river is Pison, and that river surrounds the whole land of Havilah, where there is gold. Now, that's important, because the Bible mentions here a few things. It mentions the name of the first river, which is called Pison. It mentions also it surrounded the whole land of Havilah. So if you know where Havilah is, then you will know where Pison is. And it also gives you another hint to let you know that there was gold there. Okay, so we'll look at each one of these points individually. Okay? Knowing landmarks makes it easy to find places you have never visited. In the above scripture, the Pison River and the land of Havilah serve as landmarkers. We are told that the Pison River surrounded Havilah. It also talks about gold, and the gold of that land is good. There is bdellium and the onyx stone. That's Genesis chapter 2, verse 12. What do these minerals look like? Bdellium is milky white with color and color with gold stripes. The onyx stone has straight parallel bars of alternating colors. Probably everyone knows the color of gold. Gold has always been highly valued by man because of its many uses. Gold is fashioned into jewelry. It is used in dentistry to fill cavities. It is even used in computer hardware. Gold never rusts. Strong acid alone cannot dissolve gold. Only a special mixture of acid can dissolve it. Gold is the only metal that cannot be destroyed by fire. Instead of being destroyed, it actually gets purer and more refined from having gone through the fire. No wonder the Bible likens true faith to gold. Revelation chapter 3, verse 18 says, I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich. Oh, that we all might develop faith after this sort. Do you know where the majority of the gold comes from here on planet Earth? Africa produced 71% of all the world's gold in 1969. Did you know that? If you check out our website, www.peopleofcolorone.com, you will find a chart that's called Semitic Expression, Semitic Connection, and Gemetic, the Isles of the Gentiles chart. And in these charts, it'll show you the percentages and where we got them from. Could this mean that the Bible is letting us know that the land of Havilah, which is in Africa, was based on its gold resources? That's important. The name of the first river, which came out of the Garden of Eden, is Pison. And it encompasses the whole land of Havilah, where there is gold. So if 71% of the world's resources, in reference to gold, come from Africa, then how much of the rest of the world gold is? Well, that only remains 29%. Of the rest of the world produces that much gold. So Africa, the resource where everything comes from, diamonds, we get there, the majority of the diamonds come from Africa. And so we can see that the resources of this planet, the things that keep the economic structure, the infrastructure that's based on gold, is also controlled and lives off the back of Africa. Most people don't know that the whole world economic system revolves around gold, Africa. But most people have no concept of that. Why is Africa the most poorest, one of the poorest countries, or one of the undeveloped countries? Okay, there's a reason for all of those things. Okay, getting back to what we were studying about Pison, we understand a little bit about the goal. That's one aspect. Remember the other two aspects that we're going to look at that the Bible mentions? The name of the river called Pison, the land of Havilah that surrounds it, and the gold. So there was three areas that the Bible is helping us to identify where this specific river or landmass was. In order to find this river, we must first find Havilah, the landmass where it is surrounded. This task becomes easy if we keep in mind a very common human practice. People call lands after their own names. Even the Bible refers to this practice. Psalms 49, verse 11 says, "They call their lands after their own names." Did you know that there was an Ethiopian man named Havilah? Havilah's father was Cush. Cush is the father of the Ethiopians. The only logical conclusion is that the land of Havilah and the Pison River were contained within the Ethiopian Empire. If Havilah is the son of Cush and people live near each other, then that's all you should be able to expect of where the land of Cush is. Obviously, nearby, since one of his sons is Havilah, Havilah has to be nearby. The Ethiopian Empire was one of the largest empires to ever rule the world. It was rich in gold and had many other high-priced minerals and stones. From 2800 BC to 2300 BC, the Ethiopian Empire reached as far as India and China. Now, if you go up onto our website, you can see some maps up there. And if you get our books, the Old Testament collection that we're reading from, you will also see some other maps. If you look at the map, you will find that if you look at Eurocentric maps, they will show you Havilah is over what we call the Middle East area. But that doesn't make sense. If Ethiopia is in the heart of Africa, the Horn of Africa, you'd expect it to be nearby, which would mean it would be on the other side of the river in the Horn of Africa. Now, does that confuse you? European theologian placed Havilah in Arabia. It is shown on our map in our book as Havilah W on the map. Ethiopians, however, place it off the east coast of Africa. And this is shown in the map in our book, and it's called Havilah A. In other cases, one has to agree that Pison River and Havilah were located in what we call classical Africa or old Africa. Okay, so far we've been able to see from the three areas that the Bible is telling us about. We don't have a river called Pison today, but we could find the river where the river Pison should be. It should be somewhere over where Havilah is. And when we put Havilah over down in the area where we have Uganda, Tanzania, Ethiopia, that area what we call the African Great Lake region. In the African Great Lake region, that's where we believe that the first river is. And we have lots of rivers over there. We have the Lake Victoria, Nile River, we got the White Nile. We have quite a few different ones. And so any of them, it could have been in that area. Okay, so we've been able to get through the first river, and hopefully you've been able to see that it was in what we call the Horn of Africa, or on the eastern sector of Africa, under what we call the African Great Lake region. And people have mentioned in the African Great Lake region, that is the most perfect place where you would have perfect climate and everything else. And so we believe that the first river is in what we call the area, the African Great Lake region. And from there, we will be able to start to develop and see where the second river was. Okay, at this time, what we're going to do, we're going to be able to pause for a few minutes to hear from our sponsors so that we can know what things we should be looking at. At this time, we will take our break.
One Day Denture Repair is a denture repair service that is centrally located in Jacksonville, Florida.
They repair your partial or denture while you wait. If you crack or break your denture, please call One Day Denture Repair at 904-210-6208 for an appointment.
Thank you everyone for tuning in to Truth Music. If you'd like to help support Narrow Path Music and Ministry reach souls throughout the world, please visit www.narrowpathmm.com. And help support our truth ministry, Teach, Reach, Unite, Touch, and Heal, by purchasing a raffle ticket for only $1 on the Donate tab. In the PayPal description box, please include your name and phone number so that you may be reached if your name is drawn. This drawing will be held September 30th and so forth each month until we have reached our goal. First place winner will receive a $75 Walmart gift card. The second place winner will receive a $50 Walmart gift card. The third place winner will receive 3 of Prophetess' latest mixtapes. So I encourage everyone to participate today. Sow a seed in the name of Jesus, especially if you enjoyed the music. There's more to come in the future, and as we raise more funds, we will have bigger gifts to give away and be able to reach a lot more people. So I just want to thank everyone out there who has donated already, and I ask that we continue to spread the word, because Jesus is coming back. And the only way that we will be ready is if we teach, reach, unite, touch, and heal. Thank you. God bless.
Wondering about your African heritage, lineage, and history? Well, it's in the greatest book ever written, the Bible. Join Dr. William Emanuel Wednesdays at 2 p.m. Eastern Time, 1 p.m. Central, for the answers to your questions that come straight from biblical texts. Remember, the proof is not in the pudding, it's in the Word of God. Is an all-points bulletin for the saints of the Kingdom of Heaven. We are putting out a massive Amber Alert for lost and missing souls. This comes from the throne room of His Majesty Himself, Adonai, Yahweh, the Great I Am. If you spot one of these lost or missing souls, direct them to your respective place of worship. But if you are in the Glenn County, Camden County, or Duval County area, direct them to New Wave of Glory Christian Center. That's 950 South Lee Street, Kingsland, Georgia, 31548. And remember, obedience is better than a sacrifice, and these souls are a top priority issue.
Well, we thank everybody for coming back to be able to hear the second part of our study today. We're looking at the four rivers that left the Garden of Eden. That's what we're looking at. We talked specifically about the first river, the river of Pison, where there is gold and the gold of that land is good. There is delium and the onyx stone. We saw that the Bible was trying to give us 3 references so that we might be able to understand these locations of the four rivers. We found out that it was gold. We found out that 71% of gold comes from Africa. So it was letting us know that. We also found out that the river Havilah, the river Pison, surrounded the land of Havilah. And the identifying mark is if you can find the land mass, then you will know generally of where the river that left the Garden of Eden. And the question that we were trying to address is the question is, how do we identify the land of Havilah? When we study the Bible, we found out that we can tell who the people of the land are by simply knowing the names of the lands and their ancestors' names. Why? Because according to Psalms 49 verse 11, their inward thought is that their houses shall continue forever and their dwelling places to all generations. They call their lands after their own names. That's something that we do today. We have a place in the capital, which we call of the United States, is called Washington, D.C. It was named after somebody whose name is George Washington. We have another place that's called Baltimore, and it's named after Lord Baltimore. We have another place that's called Maryland. It's obviously, she's naming the land of Maryland, Mary's land, after Queen Mary. Where else do we have it? Virginia, named after Queen Victoria. So we see this pattern going on all over the place. We have places that's called Columbia, named after Christopher Columbus. So the pattern is very clear, and it still goes on today. Now, whether they were black or not, the people that lived in this particular region depends on the people and the name of the lands they dwelt in. The African American viewpoint is that the land of Havilah is next to Ethiopia, since Havilah is the son of Ethiopia. And like I said, you go to our books and you can see the map that breaks it down for you. Now, Dr. Kane Hope Felder at Howard University, scholar, he had edited the Bible called the African Heritage Study Bible. We also have that available on our website, www.peopleofcolor1.com. And in there, he references also that. This might make the Pison River what we call today the White Nile, or a contributary of the Nile. Or, and there's different contributaries that came off the Nile River. White Nile, Blue Nile, Victoria Nile, Albert Nile. There's quite a few of them that's over in that region. So it could have been any of these. And in our book, we label it Havilah A, for the African American viewpoint. The traditional Eurocentric viewpoint does not allow for the land of Havilah to be in the heart of Africa, as we placed it and Dr. Kane Hope felt. We label this one, that the Eurocentric viewpoint, Havilah W, for the white European viewpoint. To understand more of this area, see the books People of Color Beginner Series, and also get the CDs, DVDs, the videos. The land of Havilah W is northeast of Arabia on the Persian Gulf. Arabia was famed in antiquity for its gold. The descendants of Rama lived in southeast Arabia, and the descendants of Havilah were the sons of Cush. And we also have figures that you can also see that's on our videos and charts. Havilah was one of the sons of Cush. You can read that in Genesis chapter 10, verses 7 and 8. The people simply named the lands after their own names and their children's name, so that future generations would know who originally possessed the land. That's similar to what we read in Psalms 49, verse 11. Since Cush was renamed Ethiopia in many Bibles, so most of the time when you read, you won't see, like King James, you're going to read that it surrounded the whole land of Ethiopia. If you read the New King James, it says it surrounds the whole land of Cush. Cush was the name that was really written in those old texts, and the Europeans decided to change it to Ethiopia. Okay, the land of Havilah was founded by an Ethiopian under the Ethiopian Empire. Why is that? Because Havilah was an Ethiopian, so he established the land of Ethiopia, because he was an Ethiopian, and it was under the empire that's called the Ethiopian, or the Cushite Empire, or the Nubian Empire. That's also referred to. Cush has many names. Some use it as Cush. Some has it as Ethiopia. The Europeans, the Greeks, when they found Africans, they changed their names, and they changed it from Cush to Ethiopian, which means bird-faced people. Then it went on, and it's also named Nubia. And Nubia was the original name, or one of the first names that was named for these people that lived in that region. Okay. Now, as we realize that the Ethiopian Empire was huge, we will refer again in our videos and in our charts about Havilah in Genesis chapter 2, verse 12. Havilah is the first name mentioned in Scripture. Did you know that? Excluding the word Eden. And Ethiopia is the second land mentioned in Scripture. Genesis chapter 2, verse 13. And 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 7 places Havilah near Egypt. Sometimes we forget that Egypt is on the African continent. Because many people today refer to Egypt as White Africa because the Arabs colonized it. Now, we got to remember that as we deal with colonization, just like America is colonized by mainly Europeans who have taken over, these were not the original people there. So today, which we see Egypt, the leadership and all of that, these are light-skinned Arabs. They have nothing to do with the ancient biblical times and texts when we talk about Egypt. These are not the same people. They have nothing to do with the ancient history of the world. Neither does the African Americans who live here, who claim to be the true, who claim to be Americans, who aren't. They're colonists. We're nothing but colonists here. We colonized North America and stole it from the Native Americans. Okay? And so you cannot, and that's what happened in Egypt. Egypt is the same way. Those are colonists there. And so they try to hide some of the ancient documentation proving that the ancient Africans were black. Okay, now as we read again, Genesis chapter 2, verse 13. And the name of the second river is Gihon, the same as it which compassed the whole land of Ethiopia, or as some text has it, the land of Cush. The second river called Gihon surrounds the whole land of Ethiopia, which is in Africa. Rashad, the 11th century commentator on the Bible, says that the Gihon is the Nile River that flows through East Africa. So most people agree that the second river is Gihon, and it does surround the whole land of what we call Ethiopia, or the land of Cush. Now, which contributory really surrounds the land of what we call today Ethiopia, or Cush, or Sudan, those areas? Today we call it the Blue Nile. Okay, so as we go through this, we'll be hoping that everyone will be able to follow what we're studying. And we hope that some of you will get the books so that you can remember what's actually, you know, looking at the pictures can teach you a lot of things. It can help you understand what's going on. At this time, we're going to take a break for our sponsors again. And we'll return right after that.
One Day Denture Repair is a denture repair service that is centrally located in Jacksonville, Florida.
They repair your partial or denture while you wait. If you crack or break your denture, please call One Day Denture Repair at 904-210-6208 for appointment.
Thank you everyone for tuning in to Truth Music. If you'd like to help support Narrow Path Music and Ministry reach souls throughout the world, please visit www.narrowpathmm.com. And help support our truth ministry, Teach, Reach, Unite, Touch, and Heal, by purchasing a raffle ticket for only $1 on the Donate tab. In the PayPal description box, please include your name and phone number so that you may be reached if your name is drawn. This drawing will be held September 30th and so forth each month until we have reached our goal. The first place winner will receive a $75 Walmart gift card, winner will receive a $50 Walmart gift card. The third place winner will receive 3 of Prophetess' latest mixtapes. So I encourage everyone to participate today. Sow a seed in the name of Jesus, especially if you enjoyed the music. There's more to come in the future, and as we raise more funds, we will have bigger gifts to give away and be able to reach a lot more people. So I just want to thank everyone out there who has donated already, and I ask that we continue to spread the word, because Jesus is coming back. And the only way that we will be ready is if we teach, reach, unite, touch, and heal. Thank you. God bless.
Wondering about your African heritage, lineage, and history? Well, it's in the greatest book ever written, the Bible. Join Dr. William Emanuel Wednesdays at 2 p.m. Eastern Time, 1 p.m. Central, for the answers to your questions that come straight from biblical texts. Remember, the proof is not in the pudding, it's in the Word of God. Is an all points bulletin for the saints of the kingdom of heaven. We are putting out a massive Amber Alert for lost and missing souls. This comes from the throne room of His Majesty Himself, Adonai, Yahweh, the Great I Am. If you spot one of these lost or missing souls, direct them to your respective place of worship. But if you are in the Glenn County, Camden County, or Duval County area, direct them to New Wave of Glory Christian Center. That's 950 South Lee Street, Kingsville, Georgia, 31548. And remember, obedience is better than a sacrifice, and these souls are our top priority.
We thank everybody for coming back into part 3 here of our study, as we are studying about the true historical representation of people in the Bible during Black History Month program. We're going through a series of books that is entitled The Old Testament Collection, the True Historical Representation of People of Color in the Bible, Old Testament Collection. And we're reading mainly out of book number 3, which is called The Garden of Eden. We've been able to identify the first river, and we were reading about the second river, and it read in Genesis chapter 2, verse 13, the name of the second river is Gihon. The same is it that which compass, which surrounds or compass the whole land of Ethiopia, or what we call the land of Cush. Today, the Gihon River is known as the Nile River. The Nile River is the longest river in the world. It is approximately 4,000 miles in length. Two rivers combine to form the Nile, or two main contributors. They are the Blue Nile and the White Nile. The Nile is a bit unusual in that it flows from south to north, not north to south. It gracefully flows through Egypt, the Nile Valley, and the Nile Delta. The Nile Valley and Nile Delta are two of the most fertile farm regions in the entire world. The Nile River moistens over 10 million acres of land in Africa, watering over 1.5 million acres in Sudan, and over 7.5 million acres in Egypt. The Blue Nile is the main contributory or water source for the Nile River. It begins in the mountains of Ethiopia, or as we call it, the land of Cush, literally surrounds Ethiopia's landmass, just as the Bible described it. However, no other river in the world fits the biblical description of Gaia but the Nile. The White Nile begins in the Great Lake region of Central Africa. Its main feeder is Lake Victoria. Lake Victoria is the second largest lake in the world. Kenya, Uganda, and Tanzania all come into contact with this lake. Water from Mount Kilimanjaro serves as a secondary feeder to the White Nile. Do you know that Mount Kilimanjaro is? Do you know what it is, where it is? Mount Kilimanjaro is the tallest mountain in Africa. It stands approximately 19,340 feet above sea level. Okay, as we've been able to talk a little bit about the Nile River, as you can see, or as you can hear, that we find that there are many contributories to that river. And one of them is what they call Lake Victoria. And then there's another lake that's called Lake Albert. And there's another one that's called the Mountain Nile. So we have Lake Victoria feeding into also Lake Victoria Nile, the Victoria Nile, that river connects up with what they call from another river, another lake that's called the Albert Lake. And the Albert Lake, that's out its contributory, and it connects with the Victoria Nile. And then they go through the mountains, and then there's what they call the Mountain Nile. So as you can see, there's like three rivers already forming one, you know, river that's still part of the Nile. And this Mountain Nile then changes into the name of the White Nile. And then, so we have the Victoria Nile, the Albert Nile forming the Mountain Nile. The Mountain Nile, which had the lake, they had the Victoria Nile and the Albert Nile all uniting and flowing into the White Nile. Okay, so we have all of these rivers flowing there. Then we have another Nile, which they call the Blue Nile, which we just read about, which flows from the mountains of Ethiopia. They connect together, and then they start to form what we call the Nile River. So as you can see, there's many details in this that is just talking specifically about one river. Now you can look in your encyclopedia. If you look up the African Great Lake regions, it'll show you those regions and show you all of these lands on all these rivers that flow there. Now, this is important. It's important for us to realize a few things here. First thing is, obviously, the original names was not Victoria now, or Lake Victoria. All of these are named after Europeans, Albert now, okay? So we can know for sure the White now. We know there's no White now, okay? So the names have been changed, as they would say in some movies, to protect the innocent or to hide the truth. And so it's becoming a little more clearer that the first two rivers, and as you list rivers, you list them in importance, that the first river, which was the most important river, is in the African Great Lake regions. And we just mentioned quite a few of them that there are down there. Then these rivers flow together, and now we're seeing them intersect with what we call the Blue Nile, the White Nile, and all of that, and then becoming the Nile. Okay, just as the Bible says, that these rivers contributed and flowed together. So as we look at these particular regions of the world, we're studying history and geography and biblical science all together at one time. And so that's why we talk about that the Bible is a holistic viewpoint. So it's not talking about religion. It's also, as we can see here, it's talking specifically about history and geography so that we can get our minds wrapped around what time frame in history is Yahweh talking about, what were the people who were living at that time frame, and so forth. Okay? Now, we're going to read on a little further to read about the third and fourth river. So we see that the first two rivers are what we call in the heart of Africa, or in what we call also the Horn of Africa. Okay? And the name of the third river is Hiddekel. That is it which flows toward the east of Assyria. That's Genesis chapter 2, verse 14. Hiddekel is the third river or landmark mentioned in the second chapter of Genesis. It flows on the east side of Assyria. And if you look at a map, and if you get our books, you'll be able to see where that is. Do you know that the river that flowed east of Assyria was Hiddekel? Today, this river is known as the Tigris River. The Tigris River is in the northeastern portion of what we call classical Africa or old Africa. Today, this region is commonly referred to as the Middle East. The prophet Daniel describes that while he was at the Hiddekel River, he saw a vision of a man. Daniel's description of this man is quite similar to that given of Yeshua in the book of Revelation. Daniel chapter 10 verses 4 through 6. And in the 4th and 20th day of the first month, as I was by the side of the great river, which is Hiddekel, I lifted up mine eyes and looked, and behold, a certain man clothed in linen, whose loins were girdled with the fine gold of Ophir. His body also was like the Bdellium, and his face had the appearance of lightning. His eyes were as lamps of fire, and his arms and his feet were like in color to polished brass. The voice of his words was like the voice of a multitude. Okay, and then when we finish reading Genesis chapter 4, verse number 14, the fourth river is the Euphrates. The Euphrates is the fourth landmark mentioned in Genesis chapter 2. It is located in the northeastern portion of classical Africa, or old Africa, which today is commonly referred to as the Middle East. The Euphrates River is approximately 1,700 miles long. These four rivers serve as landmarks and helps us to know the approximate location of the Garden of Eden. Can you name the four rivers? Can you put them in alphabetical order? Do you understand why the Middle East can rightly be called classical Africa? Hopefully by now you do. Adam and Eve were placed by Elohim in the Garden of Eden. The Garden of Eden was in Africa. We conclude then that Adam and his companion Eve were African. And when we return back, we will talk specifically more about what does all of this stuff mean. How does it all fit together so that we might be able to get a clearer insight of the word of Yahweh.
Day Denture Repair is a denture repair service that is centrally located in Jacksonville, Florida.
They repair your partial or denture while you wait. If you crack or break your denture, please call One Day Denture Repair at 904-210-6208 for a point.
Thank you everyone for tuning in to Truth Music. If you'd like to help support Narrowcast Music and Ministry sold throughout the world, please visit www.narrowcastmm.com and help support our Truth Ministry. Teach, reach, unite, touch, and heal by purchasing a raffle ticket for only $1 on the donate tab. In the PayPal description box, please include your name and phone number so that you may be reached. If your name is gone, this drawing will be held September 30th and so forth each month until we have reached our goal. The first place winner will receive a $75 Walmart gift card. The second place winner will receive a $50 Walmart gift card. The third place winner will receive three of Tyson's latest mixtapes. So I encourage everyone to participate today. Sow a seed in the name of Jesus, especially if you enjoy the music. There's more to come in the future, and as we raise more funds, we will have bigger gifts to give away and be able to reach a lot more people. So I just want to thank everyone out there who has donated already, and I ask that we continue to spread the word, because Jesus is coming back. And the only way that we will be ready is if we teach, reach, unite, touch, and heal. Thank you. God bless.
Well, we thank everybody for returning here as we have our closing portion of the study. I hope everyone understood where the four rivers that left the Garden of Eden were all located. We hope and pray that you've been able to follow. And if you want the deeper study, go to the website, www.peopleofcolor1.com. And there's much more information up there and much more videos and charts as it relates to today, last day events, and all the things that are going on around us. Okay, now that we've been able to see these four rivers that left the Garden of Eden, now we have some thoughts that we need to look at. And we pray that you can see that all civilization started in classical Africa, or what we call old Africa. It has been proven that there were universities in Africa a long time before the Europeans became literate. That means before they could read and write and understand mathematics and science, as they have stolen so much from us to make us feel as if we didn't contribute anything to civilization. But we did. We were the founders of all of these different things. And so let us help to get a better understanding of the purpose of the four rivers that left the Garden of Eden. We call this the section, the introduction to the four rivers. The word Cush in Ethiopia keeps coming up in reference to the four rivers that are used to identify the Garden of Eden in the Bible. I hope you've been able to see that, been able to see that point of how Egypt and Ethiopia keeps coming up throughout the entire scriptures. The word Ethiopia, Cush, are usually interchangeable in the Bible's translations we use today. The word Ethiopia means burnt-faced people. The Europeans used the term Ethiopia to denote Africans or black people. As one continues to read and study and look at our videos and charts and the Bible, they will find out that the first river surrounds the land of Havilah and was named after one of the sons of Cush or Nubia would be more rightly termed. This would make it appear that the first river should be somewhere within the Cushite or Ethiopian Empire, since his son Havilah lived under his father's empire. The placement of the land of Havilah under the Cushite or Ethiopian Empire is clearly defined, since the son's name is identified with that land. The second river surrounds the land of Cush or Ethiopia. In classical literature, Cush in Ethiopia was denoted as everything south of Egypt. Today, Ethiopia is located in eastern Africa. The third river and fourth river are the Tigris and Euphrates rivers, which surrounds the land of Nimrod. Nimrod, the son of Cush, established this land in ancient times. So there we go. So the last two rivers are identified with Cush again. But not the first river was his son Havilah. The second river was clearly Cush, surrounding the land of Cush. And the third and fourth one is in the land of Nimrod. Nimrod was also the son of Cush. Okay, so we can see all the rivers relating back to the Ethiopians. Nimrod, the son of Cush, established this land in ancient times. As one can see, these four rivers all surround the lands that were established, inhabited, and controlled by Africans, Cushites, and Ethiopians. This makes it obvious that the Garden of Eden was in classical Africa and on the ancient African continent. Adam and Eve imperceivably were burnt-faced people, or as Europeans would put it, Ethiopians, Cushite, Nubians, and for sure, black Africans. It is interesting to discover when viewing the video series called Millennium, Tribal Wisdom, and the Modern World, that the Nubians, the original Ethiopians, believe that they are the original or first people who were on the planet. One of the oldest names for a region in Africa is Akibalon, which means mother of mankind. To understand a time perspective, we place the fall of Adam around 4000 BC. Now, these things that we study here in the Bible, a lot of these things if you don't have any history, biblical history, or if you don't have any, geography, you will think that some of this, that all of this stuff is happening somewhere in Europe. But it is not. None of this stuff is happening in Europe. Okay, now the next section that we're going to be looking at, still talking about the four rivers, the first civilization. Why do you think Yahweh's talking about these four rivers? Because they refer to the first four civilizations that existed on the planet. He's not talking about rivers, really. He's talking about civilizations. The first river was in the Great Lake region, and that's where the first civilization of Garden of Eden was. And from there, you can document that these were Ethiopian or Cushites, and they moved up the Nile River, and that's what the second civilization was called, the Nile Valley Civilization. From there, Nimrod had established his, and he was what we call the Achaeans, I believe, over in what we call Ur of the Chaldees area. The Chaldeans, or whatever phrase we would like to use, they're called Sumerians. They were Sumer, the land of Sumer. That's where Abraham came from. So you see that all of these civilizations, the first civilizations that populated the planet, that's what Yahweh's talking about. Is the word Africa found in the Bible anywhere? It is believed by some that the word Africa was given to the continent by a man named Leo Africanus in the 1500s. Hint, the last book in the Old Testament was written around 400 BC. Therefore, the answer to the question is no. The word Africa does not appear in the Bible at all. Well, how could it? Well, Africa, the name didn't come up to the 1500s, and the Bible was written, what, back in the BC time frame? Okay, and AD time frame? Maybe the last one was written at 70 AD. So, no, you wouldn't find the word Africa. But is there other names that is referred to in the Bible that's letting us know that it's talking about Africa? Of course. African landmasses are mentioned and talked about throughout the entire Bible, beginning at Genesis, which is chapter 2. Some ancient names for Africa are called the Kibalon, Cush, Cushite. Some say it's spelled with a K, some spell with a C. The land of Ham. The first civilization with recorded history started around the first river, somewhere at the beginning of the Nile River. The Blue Nile, the White Nile, the Mountain Nile, the Victoria Nile, the Albert Nile. These rivers lead us to the African Great Lake regions, found in our book. The second civilization started around the Nile River, referred to as the Nile Valley Civilization. These two rivers are found in the mainland of East Africa, or the heart of Africa, or what we might call the Horn of Africa today. These include the areas of Ethiopia, Egypt, Sudan, Kenya, Tanzania, Uganda. John Jackson reports that Ethiopians and Egyptian recorded history begins around 3,500 BC. It would make sense to say that it took about 500 years from the fall, from 4,000 BC, to the first two civilizations around 3,500 BC, for man to start recording history, since the Bible teaches us that some people live around 900 years. The third civilization, Sumer and Shinar, started approximately around 2,800 BC in the proximity of the last two rivers, the Tigris and the Euphrates. The Sumerians, around 3,000 BC to 1,750 BC, were non-Semitic founders and guardians of the Western Asian oldest known civilization. Probably problems numerous and complex seem to always be mentioned to inevitably arise within the ranks of the Western scholars and academia when confronted with the origins and ethnicity of civilization, such as Sumer, that are admittedly non-Semitic or non-Indo-European. The Sumerians did, after all, call themselves the Blackhead people. Civilization started in Africa. The cradle of civilization is in Africa. We thank everyone for being part. And like we said, visit our website, www.peopleofcolor1.com. We thank you again, and we will see you again next week.